We have four scriptures this morning. The first is from Luke 2, verses 8 through 14. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. For see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." And from John 20, verses 19 to 23. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." From Romans 5, verses 1 through 8. "Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand. And we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Indeed, rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person someone might actually dare to die. But God proves his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." And from Philippians 4, verses 4 through 9. "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me. And the God of peace will be with you." So ends the reading.
Well, thank you so much, Mary and Betty and the choir. That was lovely. Well, this Advent, we have been looking at the four names for Jesus that are given to us in Isaiah 9. To meditate upon the names of the Savior. Feel the wonder Refuse to let it die. Take God's healing and listen for his guidance. His name is Wonderful Counselor. Kneel at his throne. There is no greater power on earth than his. His name is Mighty God. Trust a perfect parent without human failings. His name is Everlasting Father. Peace flows from his soul to yours. His name is Prince of Peace. And today we're focusing on Jesus as our Prince of Peace. So I looked up several Bible passages that mention peace, and of course one of them is in Luke, when the angels give the good news of Jesus' birth to the shepherds. So Luke 2:14, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom he favors. In another passage that mentions peace is John 20, when Jesus appears to the disciples after his resurrection. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. So it was interesting, at least to me, that at the beginning and the end of Jesus' time on earth, that peace was the message. And maybe it was so because peace really is one of our greatest needs. Most of the messages that we hear from outside us or inside us are clamoring voices of our to-do lists or our concerns for other people or family members, our own worries or anxiety about our nation or our world. But the word from the angels and the word from Jesus was peace. And this next reading comes from Jesus Calling by Sarah Young. Peace be with you. As you sit quietly, let my peace settle over you and enfold you in my presence. Thank me for the gift of my peace, a gift of such immense proportions that you cannot fathom its depth or breadth. When I appeared to my disciples after the resurrection, it was peace that I communicated first of all. I knew that this was their deepest need, to calm their fears and clear their minds. I also speak peace to you, for I know your anxious thoughts. Draw near to me and receive my peace. Well, Kurt read from Romans 5 today, and that's another passage that talks about peace, and it specifically talks about having peace with God. So Romans 5, 1 through 2 again. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand. And we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. When we think about being at peace with someone, we may think of no barriers or walls, or no drama or conflict, or being at ease, being ourselves, being friends. And because of Jesus, because of his life lived for us and given for us, we have that peace with God, and we are friends with God. We don't have to be perfect or to somehow earn God's favor, and we don't have to doubt that we are accepted by God. It's as if Jesus says to us, I've said it all right. Come close and know that you are loved and forgiven. And that verse, those verses from Romans remind us of that promise that because of Jesus, we have peace with God and we have obtained access to grace. Now, that phrase, obtained access, is kind of a cumbersome and awkward one. But according to Bible scholar William Barclay, In Greek, that phrase has the sense of introducing or ushering someone into the presence of royalty. And Barclay writes, it's as if Paul was saying, Jesus ushers us into the very presence of God. Jesus opens the door for us to the presence of the King of Kings. And when that door is opened, what we find is grace, not condemnation, not judgment, but sheer, undeserved, unearned, incredible kindness of God. Barclay also says that that Greek phrase for obtaining access to grace is also a word for harbor or haven, and that if we look at it in that meaning, it means that so long as we try to depend on our own efforts, we are tempest-tossed like mariners striving with a sea which threatens to overwhelm them completely. But now that we have heard the word of Christ, we have reached the haven of God's grace, and we know the calm of depending not on what we can do for ourselves, but on what God has done for us. Because of Jesus, we have entry to the presence of the King of Kings. We have entry to the haven or harbor of God's grace. And because of Jesus, we have peace with God. Well, the last verses for today are verses from Philippians, and they take us back to peace within. And reading again from Philippians, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Don't worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. And I read somewhere that this is one of the most treasured passages of Scripture, and I know certainly that I have relied on it often. And Max Lucado says about this passage that there are 5 verses with 4 admonitions that lead to one wonderful promise, that the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard our hearts and minds. So he says the 4 encouragements are, 1, to celebrate God's goodness, which comes from verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. The second one is to ask God for help, from verse 6, let your requests be made known to God. The third one is leave your concerns with God, which I think is probably the most difficult, also from verse 6. And then the last one is meditate on good things. From verse 8, think about the things that are good and worthy of praise. So celebrate, ask, leave, and meditate, and it all adds up to calm. And one more quote from Sarah Young. I am the Prince of Peace. As I said to my disciples, I say also to you, peace be with you. Since I am your constant companion, my peace is steadfastly with you. When you keep your focus on me, you experience both my presence and my peace. Worship me as King of Kings and Lord of Lords and Prince of Peace. As you walk with me through this day, practice trusting and thanking me all along the way. Trust is the channel through which my peace flows into you. As this year draws to a close, receive my peace. This is still your deepest need, and I, your Prince of Peace, long to pour myself into your need. So it's all about trust. There's nothing too great for God's power. There's nothing too small to be beyond his care. So two closing thoughts today as we think about Jesus as the Prince of Peace. The first is that because we have peace through Christ, we can also be channels for peace, and that we can work through peace, for peace, and pray for peace. And Betty, I have thought of you often as I wrote this sermon. But the first part of the wonderful prayer of St. Francis sums this up well. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. A perfect prayer that we can be instruments of God's peace. And my second closing thought goes back to the first two scriptures. The angels who sang about peace in the heavens, and then Jesus who greeted the disciples after his resurrection with peace. And in both instances, Jesus' birth, his resurrection, God had broken into the world in an astounding way. And of course, there was some fear on the part of the shepherds, on the part of the disciples. I mean, of course, the shepherds saw angels. The disciples saw a man who was raised from the dead. But the fear then led to rejoicing and wonder that a Savior had been born and that Jesus was truly alive. So, does God break into our lives today? And I believe he does. I also believe it can be a bit fearful to have God come into our world, our lives, our routine. I think about my own life, and there are times when I have been called out of my comfort zone, and it has brought me fear. Or occasions when I have been called to trust in difficult circumstances, and it has been unsettling and fearful. But I have seen God work in the midst of the unexpected, and I have seen so many answers to prayer. So here at St. Andrew, we are in a new place. And God is calling us to be his people and his church in some new ways. And that could be a bit fearful. We're a bit out of our comfort zone. But we can rejoice in wonder at how God has been working among us and through us these last months. And together, we can hear his words of peace as we contemplate and look to the future. So together, we will look for and expect God's grace and God's help so that we will continue to be a blessing to one another, to our community, and to our world. Thanks be to God.